In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Well, Mothering Sunday is what today is all about. And this reading that we've just read, yes, is perhaps focusing on the most famous mother of them all, the most famous mother in the history of the world, Mary, mother of Jesus. But life is a journey. Mary's life was a journey. And your life and my life are a journey. And I wonder what you would say have been the key moments, the defining moments in your life's journey. For me, one of the most memorable moments that I've shared with some of you was one of the two times that I got to be on TV. It was no great success for me. In fact, it all went wrong. So I was about 10 years old, and my class at school got to be on a Saturday morning primetime kids show called Top Banana. And the climax of the show was a game called Go Bananas, where one person from each class would go onto the stage and they would ask questions. And every time you got a question right, you would move on to the next step. And whoever got to the end first would get to go down a slide, fall onto a trampoline, and jump up and grab a great big inflatable banana, and I think get some other prize with it as well. But let's just say I never made it to the trampoline. The first question that I was asked was, what is the main thing that Chinese people use to cook in? Okay, now I thought that was, for me at 10 years old, that was quite a difficult question. We didn't eat Chinese food at home. I hadn't actually ever heard of a wok. But of course, when that happens, they don't want to embarrass a child on TV, so they give you a second easy question to get you going. And the question that I was asked was, who is the cat in Tom and Jerry? Who is the cat in Tom and Jerry? And you think there are only two possible answers, but no! Quick as a flash, out of my mouth popped Sylvester! Sylvester. And I shamed myself in front of millions of children and families that prime time. Of course, the answer, as you know, the cat in Tom and Jerry is not Jerry, it's Tom, and it's certainly not Sylvester. And you may have had some embarrassing moments in your life that in some ways feel like key moments. But the good news is, God is a God of good news. And he doesn't want your embarrassing moments, your worst moments, your most shameful moments to be the defining moments of your life. And we're going to discover this through a whistle-stop tour of some of the defining good news moments in Mary's journey. And number one moment was that we've just heard. Was she discovered a God who wanted to bless her? She discovered a God who wanted to bless her. Did you notice there the first words of the angel there? If you've still got the Bible reading open in front of you there in verse 28, the angel says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." God's first words to Mary could have been all sorts of things. He could have picked on some of the things that she'd done wrong in the past. But no, God's first words to her are, "Greetings, you are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And before that moment, Mary might have had many ideas or questions about how God felt about her. But here, all of those questions and ideas and doubts are cut through. Here she discovers the wonderful news that God is with her and God wants to bless her. But this good news was not just for Mary. What are the first words, do you know, if you know your Bible, what the first words are right at the start of the Bible that God says to humanity? Well, the first words that God speaks directly to humanity are these. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. God's first words to humanity, not just to Mary, but to all of us, are words of blessing. God wants to bless you. God loves you. He wants you to know his presence, his blessing, all the days of your life and beyond this life immeasurably. As we said in that psalm near the beginning, God knitted you together in your mother's womb. God designed you uniquely. Whether or not you had a good experience of an earthly mother, there was a greater purpose behind your existence, that God created you and knitted you together in your mother's womb. God loves you. He wants to bless you. His first word to you is not a wagging finger. It's not a word of condemnation. It is a word of blessing. God wants to bless you and to remove anything that would hinder his blessings in this life and in eternity to you. Mary discovered a God who wanted to bless her. Second key moment. Mary asked the right question. Mary asked the right question. There are many questions that we can ask in life, that we can focus our lives' journey on. Questions about God, about our purpose, about where or whether we're ever going to find fulfillment. But it's important to realize that some of those questions lead us towards truth. Some of those questions lead us away from truth. You will know when somebody has asked you a question and they don't really want the answer. They're just wielding that question like a weapon. Some questions don't lead us closer to the truth, but some questions do. And Mary's question, she's just given this unbelievable promise that she is going to bear the Son of God. But instead of saying, oh, that's a load of rubbish, instead, she asks an open question. How will this be? In fact, that is in direct contrast to Zechariah's question, which is just earlier in that chapter, where Zechariah also encounters an angel. But his question is not an open question about how this is going to happen. His is a closed question that actually moves him away from God's blessing rather than towards it. There are questions that will lead you towards the truth. There are questions that will lead you to good news. Are you asking the right question like Mary? Are you asking the question that is an open question to see what blessings God may have for you? Mary asked the right question. Thirdly, Mary found her purpose, her true purpose, in God's plans, not her plans. Mary found her true purpose in God's plans, not her plans. If we make our lives all about me, 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 what I want, what my dreams are, what my plans are, we never discover our true purpose. And we never find the peace and fulfillment that we're looking for. But there in verse 38, Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. She embraced, as she said that, she embraced God's plans for her. And here's just a very simple logical question. Whose plans are going to be better? Your plans that you come up with by yourself, or the plans of an almighty God who loves you? Whose plans are going to be better? I think I would trust God to have better plans than I would ever come up with myself. We find our true purpose in discovering God's plans, God's good news plans revealed in the books that you are holding now in the Bible. For example, here's how the Bible describes very explicitly God's plans for your life. Do you know this verse? Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Have you given a chance to God to reveal his plans for your life and beyond this life? Have you discovered the God whose plans are better than your plans and who wants to give you hope and a future? If we make life all about my plans, we'll never find peace or fulfillment. But if we make our lives about God's plans, then we will find true fulfillment and eternal blessing. And of course, God's plans for Mary and for the world would center on her son, this unique son. And that leads us on to the next key moment. If you can turn in the Bibles to page 1005, just to show you a few very key verses in Mary's later life. Page 1005 in Mark chapter 3. So page 1005, it's the left-hand column just under where it says Jesus is accused by his family and by teachers of the law. And it says there in verse 20, Jesus entered a house. This was while Jesus' ministry had now got started as an adult. And again, a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said he is out of his mind. And we discover that that includes, includes Mary, because if you look down to verse 31, it continues. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting round him, and they told him, your mother and brothers are outside looking for you. Who are my mother and my brothers? Jesus asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle round him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my mother, is my brother and sister and mother. A dramatic shock moment in Mary's journey. But as you know, whether you're a mother or you've just observed mothers, there comes a moment in every mother's life, doesn't there, when you realise that your children are no longer children anymore. They are adults. They're no longer your little boy, your little girl. And it's vital to recognise that transition and to embrace it, because otherwise you get into all sorts of trouble in your relationship. You've got to recognise that your children have become adults and give them a new degree of respect as a fellow adult that you haven't given them before. Well, if that's something that all mothers know, well, Mary knew this 10,000 times over, because she didn't just have to recognise her son as an adult, but as the Son of God. And here's how we could put that next moment in Mary's life. She needed to re-relate to Jesus. She needed to re-relate to Jesus. Mary's biggest challenge in life was always going to be to become over-familiar with Jesus. An over-familiarity that saw Jesus as less than he truly was. There was once a book written called Your God is Too Small. And you don't really need to read the book, do you? You get the point. How easy it is for us to make in our minds and in our lives God smaller than God truly is. Less worthy of the worship, the devotion, the attention, the honour that God is due in our lives. And many of us, especially for those who have been going to church for a long time, we need to check, have we become over-familiar with Jesus? Over-familiar in a way that's made him smaller than he truly is. All of us may need in some way to re-relate to Jesus like Mary had to. That's partly what we're doing on Tuesday evenings at our evening fellowship, is we're looking at the big claims of Jesus, taking time to be freshly amazed by the kind of things that Jesus said, like, I am the truth. I am the truth, said Jesus. But when we do re-relate, it ultimately becomes a good news process. If Jesus says, I am the truth, well, the more we get to know that person who is the truth, the more good news and the more joy we discover. And specifically, Mary needed, first of all, to re-relate to Jesus as king, to receive Jesus as her king. She knew that from the words of the angel that we read at the beginning. The angel told her that he was going to have a kingdom that had no end, but over time she'd just become her little boy. She needed to re-relate to him as her king, and not just a Sunday king or a king when it was convenient, but Jesus, the king over all the world, which the Son of God must be if he is the Son of God. In fact, life truly begins when Jesus becomes our 24/7 king. 24/7 king. But of course, Mary didn't just need to relate to him as a king also. And this step started to come a little bit later, to relate to him as her saviour. In John chapter 19, Mary sees her son go willingly to die on a cross. Now, by that point, Mary has almost certainly lost her husband. It's almost certain from the Gospels that Joseph died young, died early. So she had been through that grief. But she also went through the grief of seeing her son die young. her son die in horrendous circumstances. But there at the foot of the cross, Mary came to realize that this was no accident that her son was dying on that cross. This was the path that he had to take to become the saviour of the world, including her saviour and yours and mine. He had to go to the cross to deal with everything that would hinder us from God's blessing. All the sin, all the foolish choices, all the wrong priorities that mess up our lives and mess up God's world and keep us from God's presence and blessing. Mary needed to know Jesus as her King and her Saviour. But then there was one last thing. And I'm just going to read these verses to you from the book of Acts. Do you know the last scene that we hear about Mary in the Bible? If you want to turn to it, it's page 1092, but I will just read it to you now. In Acts chapter 1, after Jesus has risen from the dead, it speaks of the remaining apostles, and it says they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And here's the final thing. The church became her family. The church became her family. A church is not primarily a building. It is a spiritual family. A spiritual family united by a wonderful God and Saviour and King. A family on a mission to spread good news in a world that is so full of bad news after bad news after bad news. A family on a mission, especially to bring good news to the lonely, to those who are looking for healing and hope and love, and a community where they will always feel welcome, because so many people in this city do not have a community where they are always welcome. Many people don't even have a family who they can go back to. Some people today are not here because they're celebrating with their mothers. But there are many people in this city who do not have any family to go to for times of celebration or consolation. Church is a spiritual family sent by Jesus to be part of his good news mission. And eventually Mary became part of that family on a mission. And by the way, just to say, after Easter, we're going to be trying to take this family to the next level, starting children and youth works, Sunday school, if that's the language you're familiar with. But we're going to need people's help. This is a family that needs to keep growing. And so there are going to be lots of opportunities for anybody who would like to get involved in helping us to bring the good news to more people. This was Mary's spiritual journey. And just as I close, I ask this question. Where are you on your spiritual journey? Have you discovered the God who wants to bless you? Have you asked the right open questions that will lead you towards truth, if it is there to be found? Are you finding your purpose frustrating because it's been built on your plans and not yet on God's plans? Or is, as there may be for many of us here, a time to just check ourselves and re-relate to Jesus as the King and the Saviour that he is? Or maybe it's just that final step of making church your spiritual family and playing your part in Jesus' good news mission in a weary world that so desperately needs good news. Let us pray as I close. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus came into this world to restore us to your presence and your blessing. Thank you, Jesus came to be the good news that every one of us in different ways so desperately needs. Would you help us to know your love for us personally, and to live in the light of that glorious love, and so be good news people all of our days, and know the eternal hope that only Jesus can bring. In his name, amen.